Coming to the Greater Green Bay Area live from the WGBW studios at the City Deck Landing and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Welcome back. Welcome to Hour 2 of The Mayor and Mino here on WGBW 97.9 FM 1590 AM. Having a great time here with the big man, Big Wayne. What's the buzz? Now, Wayne, another thing we had going the other day, and went kind of crazy on my Facebook, was we're talking about French onion soup. I think we had Brandon Kennard on from NBC 26, and he said he really misses the spot. And they had great French onion soup,
right?
You know, with the bread in it type of thing, okay? And I was like, oh, you should never have soggy bread in food. It shouldn't even be eaten. It shouldn't. Your opinion, Mr. Mayor?
I said that's part of the delicacy of French onion soup is to put the baguettes in there, the croutons, and a couple different cheeses and bake it. And that's what makes it special. So I said to have...
What do you think, Wayne?
That sounds good.
It's great. It's toasted... And then someone else, I think, emailed in and said, look, to bread and soup is, grilled cheese and tomato soup. And it's just,
I've never dipped a bread into a soup.
It's hand in glove.
Forget about eating that for the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, I know. We're on our diet.
Carbs.
And then John is like, of course he thinks he's an expert in a lot of things, but he's like, no. Most people don't want that. So then he asked people to email or whatever, Facebook.
Yeah.
And easily 80% of the people said, remember how I talked about one time, about a month ago, about his math skills? Totally, it's painfully obvious when he's going through, it's good to have croutons, good to have baguettes, good to have French toast in there. And he goes, see, nobody wants it. That's like 80% don't want it. I said, Johnny, you just read like 15 people that wanted it and 3 that don't. That is not 80%.
So if there's a person that knows food and likes to eat food, it's our buddy Murphy.
True.
You're on a show. So he has always been a proponent of no bread in soup of any kind.
That's not really the way that's happened. So John's like, let's call an expert and let's ask them. I'm like, so what would you think, Wayne? A chef, right? So I'm thinking Chris Mangus or this guy from, to bring in a chef. What does he do? He calls his buddy, Murphy.
The expert.
That he's been on the radio with for like 30 years. Well, I got a guy in the line. I'm like, who's this going to be? On some chef. I'm thinking, picturing some guy with a white hat and, getting all excited about being and telling us.
I've got the expert.
Hang on.
Okay. Well, John sure doesn't.
Go ahead, Jason.
Yeah, we got him. I'm ready.
Go ahead, buddy. All right. Roll it. The most renowned expert on soggy bread. Should it be consumed by humans? Yes or no? Mr. Murphy in the morning. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, fellas. How are you?
Oh, Murphy, I didn't know. I'm a huge fan of yours. I've been for, 25 years, but I didn't know this was your forte, so let's hear it.
Yeah, I have a real problem with it. I think there's something wrong with you if you like that. Imagine making like a peanut butter sandwich and then pouring a glass of water on it.
Thank you.
I mean, that makes no sense.
Right?
None.
Okay. Mr. Mayor, are you telling me that you are a big fan of said soggy bread?
I am. I enjoy making French onion soup, and I'm talking about the onions and then caramelizing them and putting it in the bowl, baking it like this one lady said.
Oh, isn't he fancy dancy, Murph?
But there is bread in there that I put in there, toasted the baguettes that she's talking about.
Come out on the right side of this debate, maybe in the last election, you'd still be mayor.
I didn't run, Murph.
Yeah, you didn't get much of the right in vote either.
None. Not a one.
None.
Oh, so really, are you just, I know you would, see, you and mine will go way back. I think he just, slipped you a 20 and said, look, call in, and Schmidt's been beating me on everything we talk about, so.
Here's the thing with, he's never been too fussy about his food.
No, that's obvious.
Yeah. Wow. Very obvious. But When it comes to this particular battle, apparently we're very much on the same page.
Very much so. And I wear sweater vests these days.
Yeah, he does.
You're coming does. Around.
Absolutely.
Boy, is he ever coming around.
Who have I become? So, Mr. Murphy, any advice for Mr. Schmidt? We've now been doing this for 1 month. Any advice on doing a morning show with me?
Patience is the key.
Yes.
Generally, the show doesn't start till he gets there, so... the first 15 minutes, you're usually on your own. What time did your show start? Six?
Yeah.
All right, so John gets in about 6:15.
He comes waltzing in around 6:07,
I've been on time for every show so far.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
He really has. So.
Hey, we also have a weight contest. You know, sometimes I used to try to lose weight.
Every day you try to lose weight.
Yeah. So we lift day one, he brings in this scale, okay? It's like, Johnny, $100 bet, $100 bet. He's just like Rudy Giuliani when he talks. Johnny, here's the deal, okay? $100 bet. Who's going to lose the most? $100 to the other's favorite charity, okay? I think I should win, and he says, no, it's null and void because I put on 3 pounds, he put on 4. Thus, I should win the bet, shouldn't I?
Yeah, I guess.
Wait. No, Murph. It was who's going to lose the most weight. It didn't work.
Gains the least.
No, who's going to...
Murph?
If you were going to run...
This is Murphy in the morning.
And nobody ran. I know. This guy's an expert on a lot of things
this
except
is a guy
toast.
Whose decision should be final.
Mr. Mayor, here's what I think, Mr. Mayor. You should have Mr. Minel write down how many different diets he's been on over the last 25 years, and that would take up 2 hours of your show right now.
Boy, look at the time.
Hey, I got to go.
Call back when you get closer, caller.
All right, see you, boys.
Thanks,
Mark.
Right,
take care,
buddy. See ya. So there you go. Authoritative figure.
He is awesome, isn't he?
Yep.
God, that guy's got a great... personality, great radio voice.
You'd rather be doing a show with him, wouldn't you?
But
let's be honest. Let's be honest.
But no, I know. I love you, John.
Murphy and the Mayor.
No,
it's got a nice ring to it.
No, Mino and the Mayor has a much better
ring.
We'll
do our own big
way.
We're taking Jason with us.
Yeah, we got Jason.
Yeah, I'm in.
Yeah, thanks, Jason.
What a nice ring. The Beekeeper and John.
I like it.
I still don't think he's the expert. I'm willing to bring an expert in. Now, you brought in your expert. Right?
Yes.
Let's say we're in court.
Okay.
You would bring in your
expert testimony.
Paid witness.
Do they get paid?
I've got the expert.
Those guys, Wayne, have you followed any of these trials? But these guys get paid for coming in. Thousands and thousands of dollars.
Is that fair that you're a paid witness?
That's what I need to do. That doesn't sound right, does it?
That sounds good.
It is. There's big money in that.
Can you get me into that?
I wonder what I could be.
But John, they ask them when they're on the stand if they're getting paid. And
I say, oh, I didn't know. I've never been to a trial.
Yeah. No.
Have you ever sat through a trial?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, whoops. That was uncomfortable.
Hey, there's a soup shop in Deep Pier called Hey Soup Sister.
Jason, can you erase that one from the podcast?
I'm sorry. Okay, we don't have a delay button.
Wait, my bad. That's all right.
Go ahead, big way.
If you want to settle it.
Wayne.
Oh, boy. Take it away. Okay, so back to honey.
Yes.
All right, Wayne. No, we could bring. I'm thinking bigger here. So there's a place in Deep Pier called Hey Soup Sister. All they do is make soups. She's a Krivitz girl.
Really?
She's a soup expert.
What's the name of it?
Hey Soup Sister.
Hey Soup Sister.
Yeah, if you go on Facebook, hey.com Soup Sister.
Wow. That's where
all
is
they
it?
Do. It's by
East
the
or
little
West.
Mall on the
okay.
And that, anyway, west.
You are recommending that? Why?
Because you wanted to
a soup expert.
Finalize this.
Oh, she's the soup expert.
She's the soup expert.
All right. Yeah. Or Chris Mangus too, right at 335. Oh, I mean, okay. That guy's like he's a buddy of mine, but one of those two I'm going to bring in as my unpaid witness, Johnny and...
Well, I don't have any money, so I can't pay him.
She can be bought. My Bro, witness
she
can be bought.
Yeah. I like this.
Okay.
She's from Krivitz.
Back to the nutrition. You are recommending that John and I eat less, stay away from sugar.
I'm not recommending. I can tell you how to do it. It's not the most healthy way, but if you want to lose 13 pounds by the 17th.
Yes.
Which is the goal.
Yes.
For both of us.
Yep.
You're going for 13 and 17 too?
Right, Wayne?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So, all right. So for, you know, I have to step into my personal trainer shoes. So without doing a PARQ health questionnaire, because maybe what I'm telling you is not, you know, might put you in a grave or something. So,
okay.
So you can't sue me.
Oh, so for that. Yeah. Liability?
Yeah, liability okay. purposes. I'm just assuming that you're a healthy individual.
Okay.
Which is a big assumption.
Very big assumption. Can a person still drink wine and lose weight?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, why not?
Wine's not bad?
No. I think wine is actually...
Sip it.
Well, I think it's a glass, right? Isn't this a whole thing about moderation?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the wine, how you drink it. Yeah, no.
I know. I'm not good in moderation in anything, in any way, shape, or form.
That's something I think we have in common. I was talking to a friend of mine, and his mom, who's older. My mom's, 80?
91.
Oh, yeah, 90. She's going to be 91 in August. 90. But anyway... Was friend of mine talking about
is she
mom.
Listening?
She drinks. Yeah, she is. she listens. She actually, get this. I mean, she's like the best. She says the rosary every day. I mean, since I was a little kid at 6 a.m. She is changing her rosary time because of the Mine on the Mayor show. Can you believe that? She wrote me a text.
And tell him what she said.
Oh, so sometimes I'm a little bit critical of people. And she goes, that Johnny seems like a nice boy.
She's probably changing it to do it after the show just to kind of make sure that, hey, these guys, please forgive my son.
Dear Lord. He's hanging out with somebody that's not a good role model.
Oh, Lordy.
Johnny,
Lordy.
The best thing that could happen to you with that is she give you one of the beads.
I know, right?
Because she says all these names of people. And then
absolutely.
You say Hail Mary.
But, that would be nice.
Anyway, she's the best. All right, so this diet that Johnny and I are going to go on, we're going to start with some moderation, and we have to give up sugars. That's you said.
No, we're not
number
starting
one.
With moderation. We're going right into
we
it.
We have to lose that much.
You're going
to
go on a cleanse.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, you're gonna cut out all. Now again, this isn't. I'm not telling you to do this. This is not healthy.
No liability. Yep.
Pretend you're going in for a colonoscopy. That for the first 2 days, that's what you want to do. Basically, you're just drinking a lot of water, which is counterintuitive because you're thinking, well, I want to get rid of the water. No, you want to consume water, because what will happen is your body will say, hey, we need to get rid of this. And then you'll start.
You ever hear of the Army? I know guys, when they're going into the Marines and stuff like that, they put them on tuna and brown rice diet. Have you ever heard of that one?
Well, yeah, that's just basic macronutrients. You know, you got protein, you got carbs.
Oh, okay.
That's all it is.
Is
all
that right. A good idea?
For a short amount of time. I mean, 13 days of anything's not going to kill you.
Right.
I hope not. We don't have our backups in yet.
Welcome. It's Jason and Big Way.
Civic Media said you guys got to get backups. We haven't done that
we
yet.
We haven't. So we're working on it.
We should do that this afternoon.
Who wants to be my backup? Let me know. When we come back, we'll hear from Tom Farley, brother of Chris Farley, talking about some really insightful things about Hollywood and what led to his unfortunate demise. Mino and the Mayor and Big Wayne. Back after this. Remember this? 1967?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Don't sing, John.
Secret agent man.
Listen to me.
Secret agent man. Giving you a number. Taking away your name.
All right.
Who was that, Bobby Darin? Is that Bobby Darin, Jason?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, hey, your mic's on. What's?
Sorry, it's Johnny Rivers.
Johnny Rivers. Still love Johnny Rivers.
Yes.
Remember he used to do three.
So much so that you didn't remember the name.
Secret Agent Man.
But he also used to do a theme song for Midnight Special, didn't he?
Yes.
He still loved it. That was like before MTV. Every Saturday night when I was in college, we wouldn't go out until we watched Saturday Night Special.
Because
that's the only time you'd watch people perform like live.
Yeah.
That was so big.
And where I went to college, we would watch 60 Minutes. I'm not kidding you. And then Andy Rudy would come on. Johnny, I'm not kidding you. So we would be in my room. I was the RA, the resident assistant.
I could see that. I could see you being an RA.
I was an RA. And people would come in my room. We would watch Andy Rooney, and then we would run across the campus to get to Mass at 7. Every Sunday night at St. Norbert. I was in 3M, fourth floor. And so that's what we did.
I did the
what
same did you thing do at, again. I did the same thing at ASU.
I tortured our RA. In fact, he left college because of me.
Oh man. I don't know how many of your stories we can tell. We told the snowplow story, which is still amazing. You're alive. Let's be honest.
Though that's not even the best story. The best one is when I rode my bike naked, fell in the street, and the cop rolled up on me. That's a great story.
Tell that story, Wayne.
I think we have a lot to do today.
Why were you riding a bike naked?
Well, of course, you come home from the bar, you know, like you're like,
of course.
We lived on a busy street, you know, just like, hey, let's ride the bike naked. So then I'd rip off all my clothes in the yard, you know, everything but my sneakers, hopped on the bike, and I'm like riding up and down the street, and it was kind of a drizzly rain, you know, screaming all of a sudden, beep, beep.
What time of night was this?
This was probably like 2 a.m.
Okay.
You know, lights popping on, porch lights, like, what the hell's going on out there?
Respectful to the neighbors.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden,
you got Jimmy?
No, I have a question.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jim.
What kind of bike was it?
It was an old Schwinn. It was a tank.
They have a banana seat?
No, it was an old. I didn't have money to buy a mountain bike in college.
Right.
But Marquette, Michigan is like a huge mountain bike.
Huge. Thing.
So one of my friends like, hey, you can use my bike if you want it, but it doesn't work. So you know, I used my automotive skills from Kuritz High School, and I ripped that thing apart, put it back together, and,
nice.
it worked.
Nowadays, wouldn't that be like a sex crime?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. So anyway.
Indecent exposure.
Yeah. Oh. It gets, yeah, exactly. Well, it was back then too. So
disorderly conduct, and then there's one other one.
I'll tell you what I got. I would have
written you 3 citations.
Well, we'll get to that point.
Okay.
So then I'm riding down the street. All of a sudden, no hands. I'm like, woo, riding by Mike, no hands. And all of a sudden, I see this car come like zipping up on me, and I'm like, I went to grab the handlebars, and the handlebars like twisted, and I went head over heels over my bike. It was in the intersection of 4th and Hewitt in Marquette, Michigan, and I'm laying in the road just butt naked. On the back, and all of a sudden, 2 cops get out of the car, and they're like the bumper's like literally over me. and I get up, I'm like, I know, I need to get in the house, you know. And I just picked up my bike and slowly walked in the house. And when I got the house, I'm like, oh. So then I went up to I lived in the Bat Cave,
yeah.
And I went up there, and all of a sudden, about 10 minutes later, like Brad Bull, hey Wayne, you need to come out here. I'm like, I'm not going out there. You know,
yeah. All,
10 minutes later, hey, Wayne, they've got the house surrounded.
Right.
You need to come out here. So I go out there in just shorts. And that 2 officers are like, can we see some ID, sir? And I'm like, oh, on my shirt, saying, oh, they're in my wallet, in my pants on the lawn. So I go in I'm digging out my wallet. I give them the thing. And they're like, I don't know why I said this, but I go, hey, don't you think this is kind of funny? And the cop goes, yeah, that's funny. And he thought it was the funniest thing ever. He let me off. There was 3 cop cars. They just left. And the next day, my other buddy, he got a ticket for urinating in public. I'm like, I got nothing. It was in the mining journal the next day. Naked biker eludes police.
Mr. Mayor?
Yeah.
Any comments?
That's Nagani.
No, it's Marquette. And he's from Crivitz.
I worked in Green Bay. Yes. So that wouldn't have happened in Green Bay. But, all right.
Jim Arts would not have put up with that.
I didn't even get to the time where I was in jail yet.
Look at the time here. Yeah.
It is. So, Jack, what do you want to do? Do you want to
Let's wait. Let's do a break, and then we'll come back with Tom Farley.
Yeah,
we got a lot to talk about. It was such a great interview with him, talking about his brother Chris Farley.
And as much fun as we're having with the nutrition, the beekeeping, and we want to, you know, lean into the community and you know, have a healthy community. The other side of there's a little dark side to this whole country right now, and that's drug addiction and drug overdose. And as you know, Chris Farley, who great comedian grew up in Madison, right? Went to school at Marquette. I think his brother said, or I think you had said he went to school at Madison.
He's Marquette.
He's a Marquette guy.
Why would you grow up in Madison and go to school at Marquette?
Because Marquette's a better school.
No, it's not. Why do you think that?
Marquette's a good school.
I think Madison's a cooler city than Milwaukee.
My kid went to school at Madison. Madison's a great, great school. Right.
Right.
That is a great, great school. I can see growing up in a city and going elsewhere.
I guess, but what town would you rather live in? I'd rather live in Madison than Milwaukee. I mean, you got Badger football, you got Badger basketball. I mean, it's...
Milwaukee's a good city.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
See, Milwaukee doesn't do it for me.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
I wasn't smart enough to
go to Milwaukee or Madison. I went to Northern Michigan, where N stands for knowledge.
I know that. Okay, here we go. That's my old now thing from that, the end on the water tour to God. That, he stands for nothing.
Now that is funny.
He did not think you riding a bike naked was funny. No, he was just shaking his head like, this is not funny. And I don't want this on. This is, my mom's listening. This is not what we planned
about that.
For this show.
Mom, mom, what about
those ropes?
She's caressing the cross right
smoky.
Now. Oh my God. Yeah. Oh my God.
But get him away from my boy.
And for knowledge, yeah. She will find that as funny.
Oh boy. Okay. Well, anyway, when we come back, we're going to be talking with Tom Farley. It's the interview we actually did yesterday, and there were some technical issues, but we're going to talk a bunch about it. He named some names.
He's a good guy.
He
talked about the support and
the lack of.
And that's what it wasn't always there.
Mind on the Mayor, when we come back, Tom Farley will be joining us back after this. Yeah. What do you think?
I have no idea. What we're
do you know what we're going to have coming on next week?
Who?
The lead singer of the glam band. They have gotten so popular, it's unbelievable. I believe it's next Friday, and he's even going to wear his whole regalia. I think that's going to be a lot of fun. They have become so popular in the last 2 years, it's unbelievable.
The glam band.
The glam band.
Are they playing at Epic?
I think so, yes.
Okay. So
they're playing all over there. You ever see them, Wayne?
No.
That'd be your era.
I'm music illiterate.
I know, but that'd be your era, wouldn't it?
What?
The big hair bands, the glam bands.
Oh, for sure. 80s.
Poison and all those people.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
People can come down here and see them if they would like, because we have all this glass.
I know.
We've got a great studio, and they could have some M&Ms, because we give out M&Ms to our guests, and I think the sooner people come and take these M&Ms, the fewer Johnny and I will eat and maybe
there's
hit
Jim's
our goal.
Favorite thing in the world right here is loud motorcycles.
Loud motorcycles. What time is it? 7 o'clock? 7:30?
That's his favorite thing in the world.
I just hate them. I do. Always have.
If he was if he was mayor, he would be going after them himself.
We were a little stricter when I was mayor. And you see this, Wayne? This is the city sound ordinance right on my desk here. So we're going to bring someone in to address the lack. We don't need another law. We just need enforcement of the existing laws. And we do not do a good, we do a good job with a lot of things in Green Bay, but that is something we do not do a good job. And a lot of people complain. You got to admit, John.
I admit.
You live here.
I sit here one night on this side, and it was one of those beautiful nights, and everybody must have decided this. Well, somebody told me this is a really popular place for them to kind of rev it, because you got it's almost like being in a cannon. You know what I mean? With the two really high buildings right here.
Like your dad, when you drove under the tunnel, did he beep the horn so it was a little bit louder? That's what motorcycles do here. But they also, Monroe, they're just Huron. Come on. We're in this together. And they don't buy them that way. They make them that way.
What would if you were mayor of Suamico, tell me what you would have done with this. So Saturday, I'm walking the dogs. It's the end of the day.
Does Suamico have a mayor?
No.
Okay, go ahead.
So then I hear this hooting and hollering coming down the road. I'm like, what is that? And all of a sudden, it was awesome. A redneck hot tub. It's these high school boys in this old pickup truck put a liner in the back and filled it with water. And they're driving around in the back, woo.
Well, I think that's kind of fun.
And they had a big Trump flag waving. I'm like,
they had a what?
Big Trump flag.
Oh.
And I'm like, hey, every 80-year-old on this road's calling the police right now. You better hunker down.
I think I
could see you doing that back in your day.
I think 65 years ago, those 80-year-olds were doing something like that.
Yeah,
too.
So, you know, I think so, too, in Suamico.
Sometimes you got to let kids.
Because you know why? They came back 40 minutes later, and I got them on video. I'm like, wow, I can't believe you didn't get pulled over yet. So obviously everyone on Suamico was
cheering
them on.
Speaking of video, Jason's going to put that video that you sent me from you at your bee farm. Is it a bee farm?
No, it's just my house, my bee yard.
Okay, but I mean, you don't call it a farm. Okay, but where you put your hands in amongst 1,000 bees, and they're climbing all over you, and you can tell when they're starting to sting. I couldn't even watch the whole thing.
He shut it off.
I got so hooked out, I couldn't watch it.
And I want to shut it off before he screamed, because I didn't want to hear that.
Just couldn't believe all these bees swarming all over you.
Wow. All right, so also yesterday, we have a lot of guests. We have some great guests coming up, too. I know we talked about Tiller's going to be on, Mark Scogan. We got the lady from City Hall coming in to talk about neighborhoods. But yesterday, we had Chris Farley's brother. And Chris Farley, as you all know, was just a great comedic actor. Started off in the improv.
SNL.
And,
oh, yeah.
Well, improv, and then went to SNL. And his brother is pretty funny, too. And Chris just struggled with drugs. And his brother is a recovering addict, not so much of drugs, but alcohol. And
well, I think he struggled with fame and then drugs.
And you got to hear this interview because there was a lot of love for Chris, obviously with his family, and especially his brother, and some people, but not everybody. Yeah. And people who are in recovery need a support network more than I think we think, right? I mean, we all need support, but yeah, listen to this. And he's going to be back in studio on the 17th,
we're gonna have him in here.
Right?
Yep. Looking forward to it. Okay. Jason, let it rock. Are there names, big names, that if you wanted to, you could bring out and that you'd be pretty ashamed of the way they handled things with him?
Oh, you mean like Chevy Chase?
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry.
Yes.
I mean, it's more behind the scenes managers and things like that. And, you know, it's just the industry people there.
Oh, there, okay. That one.
But
then he also talks about some of the good guys. And he's mentioning David Spade and some others. We got that. Go ahead, Jason.
There are people that that did try to help him. You know, guys like Tom Arnold was, you know, a great friend and recovery, you know, advocate for him and was really, you know, helped him stay, you know, tried to help him stay sober. So there were people that really tried to help. His friends were always his friends. You know, David, you know, and Adam.
David Spade,
like a lot of friends of people with addictions, like, you're not equipped to do this. You don't know what to do. But, you know, what they did was they remained, you know, concerned and friends. And, they, you know, a lot of times you're like, afterwards, like, should I have done something? It's like, you really can't. Don't beat yourself up about that. You always have to worry about the people, like, we tried to help. The people that say they tried to help, like, yeah, okay.
I thought that was very insightful, both mentioning the people that didn't help him, and I'd like to know more about the Chevy Chase situation. That'd be interesting.
Yeah, he volunteered that pretty quick.
But then the Tom Arnolds who really tried to help him.
Not the people that didn't help him. I mean, he mentioned that, you know, maybe people could have done more, but the people that kind of almost encouraged it. He talked about these bad managers and bad agents. They took advantage of this kid. I mean, he wasn't that old, and he was, you know, he was a small town guy, right? I mean, kind of. I mean, he wasn't a New Yorker, and he said when he went to New York, he said New York was actually pretty supportive. He said that when
Hollywood.
He went to Hollywood, that is when they just, you know, they would just encourage him to party, and you just cannot, you know, I'm not an expert in this, but from what I know, you got to stay sober. You can't go off
with
the rails for
that
one
lifestyle,
night.
Though, just,
I know.
Just in knowing some of the people that were involved with that and talking with people, and they say there is such a cool factor in a bad way,
right,
where it's like you are really almost ostracized if you aren't part of, if you're in that, you know, that spectrum, that world, and you don't do those things, you know, you're not one of the cool people. It's almost like in high school. It's like, do you drink or you not drink? And if you don't, you're not with cool. And it's like that's at a whole different level. But it's almost like being in junior high. This person told me at one time.
Right.
Yes,
they're just, it is, and then you don't get invited, but you want to go because that's
and
where
the connections.
Who are
so
friends.
Much is connections. Okay.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's too bad.
You're either riding your bike with clothes or not.
Right. There
oh
you
gosh.
Go.
Don't, so, he's not right. happy about that story.
All right. Go ahead, Jason. What else you got with Tom?
Yeah, we got one more when he was talking about how funny actually Chris was.
Yep. Go ahead.
It's funny. When I wrote my book, I was interviewing, you know, all his buddies, you know, David Spade, Adam Sandler, Chris Rock. And they all said during that time, it's like he was funnier than all of us. And I'm like,
that's pretty funny.
It blew me away. I'm like, David Spade definitely is funnier than David Spade. We all know that.
Oh, yeah, that does take
questions.
But
Chris
Rock and Sandler saying that is like, man.
Yeah.
Isn't that something? The talent that was wasted. But you know, one thing I read is that he was very sensitive, even about his weight, as much as he kind of made fun of it. Mm-hmm. And he just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And some national magazine wrote like a scathing article. It was the guy hung out with them for like 2 weeks and he partied with them. And I think he even did some drugs or at least drank with them. And he was like, hey, man, this is going to be a great story. This is awesome. And, you know, and slept on their house and everything, and then came out with a hatchet job, butchered him. And I guess that really affected him and really put him off the deep end. I saw David Spade on a show talking about that, because Chris Farley was so, almost like you said, innocent as far as, or trusting, you know, Midwestern guy from whatever. And then this guy, he got to experience the big time of those kind of writers, and it just destroyed him.
And as Johnny said, we're going to have him back in studio. And
I want to ask him about that. You know what I'd like to do, though, Jim? Let's try to read his book beforehand.
Yeah. Yeah. But he just talked about, his brother was in rehab 17 times.
17 times. Wow. Is that unbelievable?
That's, you know, there's money behind that, but there's also, and then we talked about the lack of rehab places, and, you know, here, and he did comment, he was pretty
about
supportive of the Nitschke
Jackie
Center.
Jackie Nitschke Center.
He was. He
knew
all
about
that. I
want him
to talk about that a little bit more, but, you know, like I said, when he's back here, we'll have him back for the full hour, but look, as much as we have fun in, you know, the greater Green Bay community and the Oshkosh community, I mean, let's not, you know, be ignorant of the fact that
we got
struggle
a problem
here. We
got, just like everybody else.
And what's the solution? And he talked a little bit about, you know, access, right? And then it's not cheap to go through rehab either. You know, I mean, it's thousands of dollars, and not everybody has that. Although, you know, the alternative is sometimes death. I mean, it just is. And he thought heroin was just so unbelievable.
Oh, that was a good, yeah. We'll talk more about it. He said his brother told him, it's like you'd go through rehab, he'd come out clean or whatever, right, and he'd be walking down the street, and it'd be the slightest little thing that would give him almost like a flashback, and it like controlled him. He's like, he had to have heroin.
He said it was or smell something, and it's like, I cannot get, and it would just be in his head so strong that he went back to
he said,
it.
It's the devil.
Right. No doubt it's the devil in a big way. But, you know, so we've had Sandra Rank on here, who lost her son to
addiction.
Drugs, addiction. You know, he's a 26-year-old kid, but I don't think, I guess people understand this, but I've had some experience with this, but that support network it's got to be 24/7. You can't say, let's take a night off, or, you know, if people.
And even with that,
right,
it's not a cure-all.
Yeah. It's just a
tough, but, you know, another
road.
Thing
but
I thought that.
I want to say one thing though. Yeah. I want to talk about, you know, it's not a suffering journey. He said that his brother, when he was clean, was the happiest.
Yeah.
And the most talented.
Yeah.
It's not some people that, I need this to get out in front of these people. I need this to really, you know, get to be funny. This guy was the funniest and the best actor when he was clean. But I don't know. He just couldn't match the two. It's too bad, you know.
But here's the part that I find kind of ironic. And it shows just what addiction, no matter what's alcohol or what. I think he said his was alcohol, right? Tom Farley said his addiction was alcohol. So, I mean, here he sees his brother go through rehab 17 times, sees his brother die from it, but yet his need for alcohol was so strong, even though he saw, it's almost like, you know, so many times when you have an alcoholic parent, and it's like, well, the kid sees that, so he'll never, or she'll never be that way. But a lot of times they do.
Right.
That's the part that shows how, you know, nobody's immune from it almost.
No.
It really is. You know, and there's so many people. I mean, I just read a great book, Joe Vertigan, who we had on here a couple of weeks, the one about the reformatory. Mm-hmm. And there were several guys in there that admit they were alcoholics while they worked at the prison just because of what they were going through. And that led to it, you know, to alcoholism just from the stress of that job.
Yeah. But recovery will help you know that you can get through it without alcohol.
Right.
I mean, but that's where it costs money to learn that and
right.
to be in an environment where you're supportive for 30 days and these treatment centers.
Like how much is it? If you went to like Hazleton, I think Favre went there one time, or the Betty Ford, one of those two. Like if you're there for, because some of those people are there for a couple, let's say you're there for a month.
You're usually there for a month.
Yeah. How much is that going to cost you?
A lot.
Like 10,000?
No, more than that.
More than that?
Mm-hmm.
20,000? Wow. And that's not insurance or anything, right?
Well, I think there's some insurance, depending on your insurance, there's some insurance that will support your, you know, I mean, it's an addiction and they'll support your rehab. But no, those are expensive places. And just don't always go to the name. I mean, there's some, Nitschke doesn't maybe have the greatest name, but they have an unbelievable track record. They're up there with Hazleton.
What do you mean it doesn't have the greatest name?
I don't think they're nationally known,
oh,
like
I
Betty
got you,
Ford
I got you, I got
or
you.
Hazleton, right?
Well, I mean, the reputation is great.
Well, it's terrific.
Yeah.
I just, but again, you know, they have a waiting list of people to go in. They just, it costs money to, you got to pay these counselors and you obviously have to have the facilities for them. So we got to talk a little bit more about that.
I want to ask Wayne one quick question about, though. In one of the places I read about, physical fitness is a big part of their rehabbing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'm sure, because it's just like how I was talking to you guys, is it's got something has to trigger you to make changes and drive you to make that change, whatever it is. So,
but they say the discipline aspect of right. it with the physical fitness,
yep.
with the rest of it.
Yeah, to get up to have a routine every day.
Exactly.
I think that's important.
I'm going to have a routine every day to lose 13 pounds. I'm going to keep a diary of what I eat and drink.
Okay.
Wow. He's really encouraged. Here we are talking about support.
We're both silent.
I'm back with...
That you were going to be my guy.
I'm going to support you, Johnny, because we're partners. But Murphy said you've been on more diets than anyone.
All right,
anyone.
We're going
to
send a
I don't want this to be
don't
another
listen
one.
Listen to him.
Okay. My the guy brings in the expert? Okay. Let me think about that.
Let's go to break. Back after this.
Hangman is coming down from the gallows, and I don't have them.
On a Tuesday morning. Is it Tuesday? Yeah, Tuesday morning. Yeah. It's supposed to be hot again this week, huh?
Well, I don't know. It's hot. 80, 81. That's...
I think it's supposed to be 90 on Saturday.
Yeah. No, it's supposed to be 90 tomorrow or something.
90 tomorrow?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I didn't look that far out. I'm hour to hour right now with John.
By the way, I think we should do something else here before we're off the air.
Okay, what is that?
A little happy birthday for the second hour?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Very special birthday today. Not Jerry Garcia. You know, it's his birthday today.
I did not know that.
Yeah, but there's somebody much
I was never
important.
A big fan.
No, right. My brother was. Yeah.
You?
Nope.
Okay.
Yeah, my brother's the one that went to rehab, of all places.
Yeah, I can, no disrespect, but I think of most people that were their fans. Smoking the ganja a little bit there.
Anyway, today's a special look. John and I, the show's about our listeners, but there's a very special listener out there that I've been married to for 33 years, and today's her birthday, and I just want to honor her. And
she's told me she's happily married for 25.
I'm glad I got 25.
Exactly.
It's been great.
Jason, a little Elvis, please. Did you date her in high school?
I did not. I didn't. I was. It's funny how we met. She is, and I have told you this, but the nicest person I've ever met. And I came out of sales, or I don't know. I just came in an environment where, okay, you know, I had friends, but she's. Anyway, I was starting a business, and my friend said, "You got to go talk to this lady. She knows the beauty and barber business." And I was making. I wanted to start a company to make neck strips and end papers, and. I went and saw her, and she was just so, like, supportive. And she goes, "You got to do this, and this will be..." So, we went out after that, got married, started the business. It worked out.
Started
well.
A family?
Yep. Yeah. She's great. I just love her.
And you have, what, two daughters that are doctors? That's unbelievable.
No.
Oh, you don't? Wait.
No,
oh.
I have three daughters. And we right. lost a daughter, too, you know, 21 yeah. years ago, which was, that's a tough part of our life. But, I mean, you go through all that with someone, they really become even more special than you believe they even can be. All my kids have their graduate degrees. They're so much smarter than, I don't know, it's so much smarter than me.
I know,
like
me
way
too.
Smarter than me.
Yeah.
And the one's a doctor, you know, a medical doctor, and the other two are.
Got Norgie phone? Okay.
Okay, can we, anyway, can we hold but that anyway, yeah, quick? No, we don't have to. It's just, happy birthday, honey. I love you. Okay.
There you go. Norgie.
Hey, how's it going, Mano?
Good, buddy. How you doing? You're live on the air, so keep it clean.
Excellent, no problem.
You're here with Mr. Mayor and Big Wayne Stiegelman.
All right. How you doing, guys?
We're great. Thank you for joining us today again.
We had your dad on last week, and he was spectacular.
Yeah, he's pretty good. And he can really tell those stories, and he can really show the emotion and the feeling about him.
And I was telling him how much we enjoyed my family and I when they retired your number at the Rush Center. That was – you gave a great remarks, and I'm very proud of you. You I'm surprised you haven't run against me. You are just – everybody loves you.
Well, thanks. That's funny that because one of my old teammates, Chris Westlake, when we were just getting out of college, he told me You know what? If you don't run for mayor or public office at some point, I don't know what you're doing because everybody loves you. Yeah. I don't know if that's if the feeling is the same anymore, but I'll let you guys be.
This is Jeff Nordger we're talking to. We had his dad on a week or so ago. An incredible story. His dad was a Vietnam vet, decorated Vietnam vet, Purple Heart, wounded, a Bronze Star with a V for Valor, which they don't hand out very often. But the most amazing part is when he was leaving Vietnam, he packed up all of his medals and a bunch of memorabilia, put them in a box, sent them home, and it was 52 years later when he finally got them back, just not that long ago. Still an amazing story, isn't it, Norgie?
Yeah, it really is. You know, he had told us about it a few months back, and they were like, well, let's just see what's in the box. I don't know. You know, it wasn't that big of a deal. And then when he and Peter Lundborg got together, and they were able to connect about, and they didn't know each other back then, but they were able to connect about just stories from their time in Vietnam, and then open up the box and then see what was in it, was really amazing. And then on top of that, he's been able to share that story several times since with his kids and grandkids, and it's been really unique and special for us. When we were at Otter Tail Lake with the bulk of the family, including about 9 or 10 of the grandkids at one time, he was telling it outside by on the deck by the fire, and the kids were just enthralled, and I took a picture of them all just staring right at dad, their grandpa, telling the stories. A lot of these kids don't know a thing about Vietnam. Some of them do, but just to hear the emotion that my dad speaks about when he tells the stories and the different things was really cool.
And Jeff, not only to his grandkids, but to the whole public. I just think that the media kind of jumped on this a little bit because it's a story that needs to be told. And I was just so just goosebumps listening to the guy. It's incredible that. He's here and he's got great offspring to
well, when he told us about the guy that got shot right in the head, God, right next to him. Yeah.
But he's sure proud of you. Yeah. I got to tell you that. And then we tried to eke out of him a little bit of where
the talents where your nephew is going to school, Jeff.
He wouldn't tell us.
Yeah. There's no news there. There's no news there.
How good is he Jeff?
Pardon me?
How good is he?
How good is he? He'll be an NBA player if he stays on the path that he's on. He is the most efficient. I know maybe this isn't the biggest exemplary comment, but he is the most efficient player in the nation.
Wow.
I mean, his the stats that they come out with, some of the colleges that they're recruiting, tell him his efficiency levels are off the charts compared to anybody else that they recruit. He's as good, if not the best, three-point shooter in the nation. And that's only one of his traits, not his only, that makes him exceptional. So he's the real deal.
And what do he, or what does his dad and you both have in common?
Did we both play for you in the NIT?
Yes, indeed.
There's something much more valuable than that, but let's give Johnny his due. So they both played for.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And Showalter, although I could not control Showalter. Remember him?
You're talking about Steve?
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Whose son had a great career at Wisconsin. Boy, he really was a nice ball player.
Yeah, he did. He really, I think he outperformed people's expectations of him. And, you know, obviously was a member of the couple of Final Four teams and had a great career there. He actually played in the Holy Cross tournament in April and ruptured his Achilles, so he's up.
Hey, one thing, we're gonna wrap it up here, but Jim and I are season ticket holders for UWGB men's basketball this season. We're gonna get that program back to the heights it once was.
Right.
There's a lot of excitement around Sundance and
it's gonna be terrific.
The players that are coming in, I think we can do it. I think we can get that excitement around the community back as well.
Let us know what we can do, okay, Norgie?
Appreciate it a lot.
All you right. Got it, my friend. Great talk to you.
You two guys.
Jeff Nordgaard joining us, wrapping up here on Tuesday. Big Wayne, what's the buzz? You like that segment?
I like it.
Outstanding.
Love it.
We're out of time. Thanks, everybody. Back in tomorrow morning.